With your money briefing, I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. The polls would have us believe there's a good chance Democrats will retake control of the House of Representatives in Tuesday's midterm elections. But what would that mean for taxes? We'll spill out the details in a moment. First, these money and market stories you should know. The Wall Street Journal Heard on the Street team says that companies dealing with higher labor costs as a result of the current tight labor market could face even higher costs down the road. As the unemployment rate fell below 4% earlier this year, workers are no longer as scarred by the job losses that occurred following the financial crisis, and they know a job switch can be very lucrative given how tight the job market has become. Heard on the Street says at the pace of last year's employment and population growth, the unemployment rate would slip to 3.1% by next October. And even if hiring slows as expected, an unemployment rate closer to 3% than 4% seems likely. And a study by the anti-poverty nonprofit group Food Research and Action Center says 1 in 10 households with seniors age 60 and older receive Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, also known as food stamps. U.S. Census Bureau data from all counties in the U.S. shows the rate of food stamp usage by seniors remains mostly consistent. That's about 10% of senior homes in metropolitan areas, 10% of those in small towns, and 11% of those in rural areas participate in food stamps. However, out of the 50 counties with food stamp participation above 25%, 75% were rural and only 15% were metropolitan. All politics may not be local, but all politics are connected in some way to our wallets. And with the midterm elections coming up, the question arises, how would a shift in power in Congress affect taxes and in turn our own finances? Well, who better to ask than Wall Street Journal tax reporter Richard Rubin, who joins us now from our Washington Bureau. So, Richard, you write in your story in the Journal that in large part, if Democrats were to take control of the House, the tax bill in large part passed last year would be safe?
Yeah, look, President Trump isn't going anywhere between now and the end of 2020, for sure. So it's really hard to imagine the kinds of wholesale changes that Democrats have talked about actually turning into law with the president still there and with the likelihood at this point, as we speak now before the election, of having a Republican Senate still.
And for all the division in Washington, though, both parties can tag parts of the tax bill that they're satisfied with.
Yeah, look, when Democrats complain about the tax law, they have a whole litany of concerns that they have. But there's certainly things in there that Democrats wanted to do, to increase the child tax credit, to change the way that international businesses are taxed, to lower the corporate tax rate even, maybe not as far as Republicans did, all the way to 21%. But Democrats were talking along those lines, too, under the Obama administration. So don't expect Democrats to come in for the most part and just say, let's just repeal the tax law that passed. First of all, it's not going to happen. And second of all, they like some of the things that are in there.
And there are some tax rules that are set to expire by the end of 2019 that could face the Democratic red pen, if you will. What are some of the changes that you see potentially that could be coming?
So we've got a bunch of provisions that actually expired at the end of 2017. We've got the expanded deduction for medical expenses that expires at the end of this year. We've got breaks for alcohol producers and for family leave that expire at the end of 2019. And all those are sort of forcing events. So that sort of basically creates a situation where there might be a tax bill for lawmakers to consider. And when that happens, whoever's in power will have the ability to shape that somewhat. And so you might see Democrats piggyback on that and say, well, okay, if we're going to extend some of these things that Republicans created in the tax law in 2017, then maybe there should be expansions in tax breaks for affordable housing or tax breaks for investment in low-income communities or tax breaks for children or any number of things that you can imagine that the Democrats have talked about.
And the centerpiece of tax battles in Washington could be changes in the state and local deductions. I mean, that's certainly one of the more high-profile things that could change.
Yeah, let's think about it this way. If the Democrats get the majority in the House, it will be in part because of suburban districts in blue states, in New Jersey, New York, California, Illinois, Minnesota, in places that have relatively high taxes compared to the rest of the country and where that $10,000 cap really matters. And so they're going to be under a lot of pressure internally among Democrats to try and do something about it. I'm not sure they're going to be able to pass a law on it, but you're going to see a lot of attention on that. And the challenge for Democrats there is this. if you repeal that cap, the people who benefit are the very high income people that Democrats usually say should pay more in taxes. And so that's going to create some intra-party tension as they try and figure out if they really want to get rid of that cap or what a replacement for it might look like.
Now, the polls tell us one thing, but Democrats taking control of the House is not a done deal. If Republicans were to retain House control, what actions do you see them taking?
So, three different things to think about there. First is they will again push to extend the individual tax cuts that expire at the end of 2025. The House has passed a bill on that. The Senate hasn't touched it. Second, they'll talk about things that both the things that expire, but also fixes that might need to be made. You know, if there are glitches and problems in the 2017 tax laws, there usually are when you pass big legislation, then, you know, you'll see Republicans talk about trying to address some of those, and they may need some Democratic cooperation to get there. And then the third thing is this 10% tax cut that the president has floated but not really explained or described or clarified what he means. So maybe they'll have to figure out what he's actually talking about and then do something on that.
That's the 10% idea he's floated pertaining to the middle class?
Right, except that he hasn't said 10% of what or what middle class means or how somehow it would be revenue neutral. So I would describe this as more of a statement of something that they might do as opposed to anything resembling a plan at this point.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal tax reporter Richard Rubin joining us from Washington. Richard, thanks for being with us.
Sure, sure.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for The Wall Street Journal.